Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and last Wednesday, Larry Kramer, the playwright and outspoken AIDS activist, a founder of both ACT UP and Gay Men's Health Crisis, died at the age of 84. He is best remembered, besides for his work, Like a Normal Heart and other things that he wrote, for being highly critical of the government response to the HIV/AIDS crisis in the early days. What people today may not know is he was very critical in the 80s and 90s of Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yes, that Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was the face of the government's early response to that epidemic in many ways. To help illustrate how Kramer was an effective activist, and just because his history is so interesting, here are two archive clips of him. This is from a 1993 C-SPAN interview with Dr. Fauci in there as well. The first one is an example of how Kramer really got under Fauci's skin. Kramer refers to Fauci as Tony here.
Why is everybody being so polite? We're in the middle of a plague. Tony has got his bureaucratic suit on instead of his humanitarian doctor's suit on. And I think we have to talk about how people learn how to be Judeo-Christians again and save 1 billion people from death.
So there's Larry Kramer being Larry Kramer. And here's a second clip that gets to Kramer's central issue with Fauci and the government's response to the HIV/AIDS epidemic.
What one never feels anywhere in 13 friggin' years of this is a sense of urgency. Why can't things be done faster? Tony, I'll give you a good case in point. There are two treatments out there that are extremely promising, more than promising. We can't get our hands on them. You're testing one of them right there. You're testing both of them. Why does it take so long? You've been testing IL-2 for 2 years. The Merck protease inhibitor has been in studies for 2 years, in 10 people, 20 people. Why isn't it done in 5,000 people, in 10,000 people? We have willing guinea pigs out there to get you your answers faster. Everything is business as usual. You've got a plague. You do not have an ordinary disease. 5,000 people are being infected newly every day. How dare you only test a promising treatment on 20 people for 2 years?
Larry Kramer addressing Dr. Anthony Fauci on C-SPAN in 1993. Joining me now to talk about Larry Kramer's legacy and to help trace the link between the race to find treatments and a vaccine for COVID-19 and the long-term struggle to develop a vaccine for HIV/AIDS as well as other treatments is Peter Staley, HIV/AIDS activist, former member of ACT UP New York, and founder of the Treatment Action Group. Hi, Peter. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's great to be back, and thank you for. I'm grinning here. I hadn't heard those clips, and oh my God, that's such classic Larry. Thank
right.
You.
And so let's dive into this history in the context of this particular White House today, and Dr. Fauci's role on the coronavirus task force. He's seen as an ally of progressive people who support science. I know he also gets criticism from the left as well as the right, but basically that. Was he always seen that way to ACT UP?
No. I mean, he was more bureaucratic in the 80s and also had, frankly, had less power than he does now. He was a much younger scientist, and the AIDS Clinical Trials Group at the NIH, its executive committee, was run by outside scientists that were actually his senior. You know, they were older virologists and immunologists that had more awards than Tony Fauci. And he couldn't wave a magic wand and tell them what to do. So our job was really putting Tony Fauci between a rock and a hard place to get what we wanted. We were the rock, and the ACTG executive committee was the hard place, and Tony was often in the middle.
What were some of the blind spots that you think Dr. Fauci and the government in general had in particular to, you know, with respect to developing HIV medications?
You know, a very traditional, methodical way of doing clinical trials, which AIDS activists to this day defend and believe is the right way, but not on the somewhat lazy timeline that things that the scientific establishment was used to back then. We wanted to maintain those standards, but do it at a much more kind of crisis pace. And I think you're witnessing that today with the COVID vaccine effort that Tony has launched from NIAID is really breathtaking in its speed. And we desperately needed that kind of response during the 80s with the HIV/AIDS as well.
In a way, supporters of President Trump could say or could see him as the Larry Kramer of today, because he's the one who keeps saying we need to let things, whether it's hydroxychloroquine or other things, out more quickly for experimental or compassionate use. We have to have a vaccine developed at warp speed. He used that Star Trek term. And Dr. Fauci is out there objecting, saying, you know, vaccine development, it probably takes a year, year and a half at best. And we want medicine based on scientific clinical trials. Is Donald Trump the Larry Kramer of today?
No. Donald Trump is the Ronald Reagan of today. This crisis has been very triggering for those of us who lived through the early AIDS years. We lost many of our friends because a president didn't do the job that a president should do at the beginning of an epidemic, and that is listen to the experts and respond early. As we all now know, Reagan didn't even say the word AIDS until 4 years into the crisis. Thousands of Americans had died by then. He didn't give a major speech on AIDS until 6 years into the crisis, 1987, when many more thousands had died. It's an unconscionable thought. And here we are today with a numbskull in the White House who denied COVID's existence and all the warnings from the Tony Faucis of the world for a full 2 months. And we know now from the Columbia study that we could have prevented over 86% of the deaths that have occurred in the U.S. if we had reacted appropriately. And if everybody thinks that study is some, you know, liberal attack on Trump, there are living examples around the world of leaders who were hit by COVID at the same time as the U.S., but listened to the experts, did the right thing, and nipped their epidemics at the beginning. New Zealand, Australia, Germany, Austria, Greece, Israel, Czech Republic, South Korea, Vietnam, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Iceland, Denmark. You know, the list is lengthy, and these are leaders from the left and the right who listened to the experts and stopped their epidemics cold. We have the largest death count in the world, 105,000 dead, and it's blood on Trump's hands. Every single one of those could have been avoided.
We played the clips of Larry Kramer speaking to Anthony Fauci in 1993. When we continue in a minute, we're going to play a clip of Dr. Fauci from just last week on the station remembering Larry Kramer. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, as we continue to remember the AIDS activist Larry Kramer, who died last week at the age of 84, and in particular, his contentious relationship with Dr. Anthony Fauci back in the 80s and 90s, when Fauci was seen as bureaucratically holding up developments of treatments, the development, I should say, of treatments for HIV and potential treatments for HIV. My guest for this is Peter Staley, HIV/AIDS activist, former member of ACT UP New York, and a founder of the Treatment Action Group. And we played a couple of clips of Larry Kramer from 1993, I should say, addressing Dr. Fauci directly. Dr. Fauci was on WNYC's Politics with Amy Walter on The Takeaway last Friday, talking about why it's so hard to find a vaccine for HIV, even as they look for one for COVID in record time. Let's take a listen.
I could tell you right off the bat, Amy, that it's going to be infinitely easier to develop a vaccine for COVID than it is to develop a vaccine for HIV, because we know that the body makes a really good response against COVID. And many, many, many people, the majority, recover and do just fine. That means that conceptually we know that the body is capable of doing that. Whereas with HIV, we don't have that proof of concept. So we've got to do better than natural infection does if we're going to make a vaccine.
Dr. Fauci here with Amy Walter last week. So in that interview, Peter, Dr. Fauci also remembers that Kramer's real legacy, as Dr. Fauci describes it, was bringing up a crop of younger activists from ACT UP who continued a more organized push for HIV/AIDS treatment. What was his relationship with those activists? Was he a mentor? You want to remember Larry Kramer in that regard?
Well, you know, I can speak for myself. I was very young, 26, newly diagnosed, closeted gay man when ACT UP was born. I got handed a flyer on my way to work. I had a job on Wall Street, and their first demonstration was on Wall Street, and that's how I found out about it. I got to the next meeting. I had never even heard of Larry Kramer, but he was the spark that formed the group with his speech at the center a few weeks earlier. And I looked up to him as this kind of father figure. He definitely mentored a lot of us. I had, you know, endless phone calls with him in small meetings and dinners, and he would come to treatment and data committee meetings, and he'd go with us to a restaurant called Woody's on 7th Avenue after the Monday night meetings to gossip and deconstruct what had happened at the meeting and talk about what we were and plot what we were going to do next. And but you know, he has a reputation of being very good at launching things and not very good at actually getting things going and
that's
keeping
true
things
of a
going.
Lot of visionaries, you know.
Exactly. So in April, you know, ACT UP was formed in March of 87. I think by April he announced his first parting with ACT UP. He left in a huff, you know, already furious with us. Then he came back in about 5 or 6 months, and then 2 months later he quit again. But he would stay in touch with all of us. I definitely felt like he was a mentor and a father figure, and I feel like I'm alive today because of him. And I think millions of people who take HIV drugs around the world can say the same.
You know, he once left the show in a huff. Larry was a guest, and there was a caller on who he really didn't like. And he said, unless you hang up on this caller, I'm hanging up on you. And I wasn't going to hang up on the caller, you know, free speech and all that. And yeah. Larry did hang up on me, and I thought, oh, what are we going to do now? And now I'm going to have to ad lib the entire rest of the segment. But then as soon as I was done with that particular caller, Larry called back. So it sounds like he had a similar relationship with that.
He hung up on all of us.
Laura in Prospect Heights. You're on WNYC with Peter Staley. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I'm a really big fan. I listen every day.
Thank you.
I'm a white LGBT student, medical student at SUNY Downstate, which is a COVID-only hospital. in Flatbush. And yeah, I just wanted to say I really feel like I went to medical school because of ACT UP and TAG and you, Peter Staley, and Larry Kramer.
You want to say more about that?
Yeah, well, I was a history major in college, and I wrote an essay freshman year about the history of LGBT activism in New York, and I feel like that really sort of set me on a course to eventually make a big change and pursue medical school and hope to, you know, be the change from within that Larry and everybody was trying to make from the outside. So I feel like that was a big part of TAG. So just wanted to share that.
Peter, that's going to make you feel good.
It does. You know, when Tony Fauci does say there's science or before Larry Kramer and after, he's referring to what your caller is talking about. The treatment activism that started within ACT UP, within the Treatment and Data Committee, and proceeded with CAG in the 90s, really set a template for patient advocacy, really highly educated, expert patient advocates that bring something to the table with the scientific community. And today, we're all COVID activists. And James Krellenstein and younger AIDS activists launched a group called the COVID-19 Working Group of New York. A few of us old-timers are part of it as well. And we're integrally involved with all the frontline public health officials and the researchers fighting COVID, trying to run interference for them against today's politicians that are dragging their feet, not only Trump, but Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo.
Laura, good luck out there. And thank you for chiming in. Thank you for your service for sure. And for saying, you know, from whom you drew inspiration. So it's such an unusual path, right, to be a history major and then to decide to go to medical school because of the history you learned. What a great way to launch a medical career in a social context. So last thought, we just have like 30 seconds left, but how are they dragging their feet on COVID-19 again? Trump is saying, push, 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 push. Give us 30 seconds of specifics on what they could be doing faster.
Well, they could be doing treatment trials and pre-exposure prophylactic trials on COVID at the NIH. And Trump is already interfering politically with NIH efforts across the board on COVID. He canceled a major grant that was under NIAID that looked at bat viruses. So it's very frightening, the political interference and the anti-science efforts by the current administration. And we're all quite frightened about how we're going to fight this. And now he just doesn't care.
He wants everything reopened. The history today, and thank you for talking about today, Peter Staley, founder of the Treatment Action Group and once upon a time of ACT UP New York. And happy Pride Month, Peter.
Happy Pride Month.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.